In the immediate aftermath of the Hamas massacres of last October 7th, it was simple enough for Israel's allies to compose their response. Condemn terrorism, stand shoulder to shoulder, etc. and amen. In the early stages of Israel's retaliatory assault upon the Gaza Strip, it was still pretty straightforward. Defend Israel's right to defend itself and damn Hamas as an unreconstructible menace. However, the longer Israel's onslaught has continued, the more daunting a diplomatic challenge has been presented. The now barely disguised consensus among Israel's allies is that Israel has parted company with strategic reality and ethical reason. By the best guesses of the World Bank and United Nations, 62% of Gaza's housing has been damaged or demolished. According to Hamas's Ministry of Health, at least 34,000 Gazans have been killed, a grim toll even if we accept Israel's word that 13,000 of them were Hamas combatants. Tens of thousands more people have been injured, many severely and life-alteringly. There is no clear plan outlining what will become of Gaza once hostilities have concluded. For Israel's staunchest and most important ally in particular, it is a tricky one. The US administration of President Joe Biden, especially in recent months as the war in Gaza has threatened to become an election issue which could cost him support among his own base, has struggled to conjure a formula which amounts to expressing unwavering eternal support for Israel while expressing extremely wavering current support for Israel's behavior. The latest wheeze being floated is the sanctioning by the United States of at least one unit of the Israel Defense Forces, the Netzer Yehuda Battalion. Reports suggest that the US will enforce a rule which prevents US funding or training being directed towards foreign military units plausibly accused of flagrant human rights violations.
It's something that takes time, that has to be done very carefully, both in collecting the facts and analyzing them. And that's exactly what we've done. And I think it's fair to say that you'll see results very soon. I've made determinations. You can expect to see them in the days ahead.
It is called the Leahy Law, named for Senator Patrick Leahy, the Vermont Democrat who sponsored it back in 1997. The US does not publicly announce suspensions of aid under the Leahy Law, but it is known to have been applied to military or police units in Colombia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Turkey, Bolivia, Lebanon, and Indonesia, among others. Last year, it was reported that the US had reviewed some of its defense ties with Australia under the Leahy Law, following reports of war crimes committed in Afghanistan by troops serving in Australia's Special Air Service Regiment. To understand why the Netzer Yehuda could find themselves on the receiving end, it is necessary to understand their unusual situation within the IDF. The soldiers of the Netzer Yehuda are mostly Haredi, or ultra-Orthodox Jews, which is to say they are of a cohort exempt from Israel's compulsory military service so long as they claim to be in full-time study of the Torah. This loophole is unsurprisingly unpopular among Israelis in general. The attitude once memorably expressed to this correspondent by a young IDF sentry manning a guard post in Hebron on the West Bank, who described his unit's assignment defending local Haredi settlers as, "Me and my friends risking our lives to protect a few dozen crazy people who shouldn't be here and who nobody likes." However, some Haredim do wish to serve in the IDF, and the Netzer Yehuda Battalion was established in 1999 to accommodate them. The unit relies substantially on Haredi volunteers rather than conscripts, and by way of attracting and/or reassuring them, its bases adhere rigidly to religious proscriptions on such thing as diet and segregation of sexes. The Netzer Yehuda has also been a popular choice among the Hilltop Youth, a somewhat hot-headed West Bank settler faction whose thing is staging land grabs for outposts on the West Bank, even beyond those settlements authorized by Israel's government.
This land is for the people of Israel and not the Arabs. They should go back to their countries. The Israeli army comes to destroy the outposts and harass us every week. The police want to arrest us because this is a closed military zone. We will stay here no matter what. We will establish a proper settlement here. We will succeed. Our goal is to settle all of the land with the help of God.
In its operations on the West Bank, it is fair to say that the Netzer Yehuda Battalion has acquired a reputation. Since 2010, despite the relative smallness of the battalion, it has racked up more convictions for offences against Palestinians than any other IDF unit. The emblematic crime being the death in their custody of Omar Asad, an elderly dual Palestinian-American citizen.
He is old man, he is obese, he can't walk probably. He didn't make any kind of risk for soldiers.
Two officers were removed from their posts as a consequence, and the Netzer Yehuda were eventually withdrawn from the West Bank and reassigned to border duties. They are, however, reported to be fighting in Gaza.
It was fun to do, finally, what you were really meant to do. What you really learned as a fighter, as a commander. Something you are finally entrusted with. And it has to be said, we are also good at it.
Reports of the imminent sanctioning of the Netzer Yehuda over their excesses on the West Bank have prompted furious responses from Israel and rare demonstrations of unity from Israel's divided war cabinet.
I will fiercely defend the IDF, our military and fighters. If someone thinks they can impose sanctions on an IDF unit, I will fight it with all my might. As our soldiers are united to protect us on the battlefield, we are united to protect them on the political field.
This is probably largely theatrical. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a veteran of the Sayeret Matkal Special Forces, and Benny Gantz, a former paratrooper who became IDF Chief of Staff and is now a minister without portfolio, both know the difference between proper soldiers and dubiously disciplined fanatics. But nobody enjoys hearing their military criticised, especially not by an ally and patron, and especially not at a time of war.
It seems to me that imposing sanctions on a soldier unit, whether they are justified or not, and I am not going into all of that because we handle these things ourselves, is not the right way for the state of Israel. We are the only country that really listens to what the US says. You should just talk to us.
Benny Gantz reportedly thundered at US Secretary of State Antony Blinken this weekend that blacklisting Netzer Yehuda would damage Israel's international legitimacy. Which is, of course, precisely the point. The US is under no illusion that sanctioning one unit would make much difference to the IDF's capabilities. It is the latest in an escalatingly serious series of signals that if Israel goes much further, it proceeds without America's blessing. And the Netzer Yehuda of all people seem to know a thing or two about picking on easy targets. For Monocle Radio, I'm Andrew Muller.